Hey everyone, we'll get you to the show in a second. Just want to give you the heads up about our latest Red Men Plus special offer. If you want even more Liverpool content in your lives, both in video and podcast forms, simply head to redmenplus.com. And if you sign up as a yearly captain subscriber and use the promo code RACE, R-A-C-E, you'll get 50% off a yearly subscription. So yeah, that'll get you covered for the rest of this amazing season, the search for a new manager, the summer transfer window, and pretty much all of the new manager's first season as well. So yeah, redmenplus.com, yearly captain subscription, promo code RACE, and get 50% off. I'll see you all over there. Hope you enjoy this podcast that's about to start right now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the instant match reaction. Liverpool draw 2-2 with Manchester City at Anfield with goals from Sadio Mane and Mohamed Salah, Phil Foden and Kevin De Bruyne for the opponents. first thing I'll put on the agenda, Errol, is have you calmed down yet?
Yeah, I have. I think my mood's died down a little bit now. It was just that second half for me, there was just some brilliant moments in it where I was like super gassed for just the way that we was playing. Salah steps up just as a clutch moment, and you know we just hope that we can just do enough to kind of defend and be a little bit resolute, and then we're not ultimately. So it was like it was a bitter pill to swallow for me, really. That, but yeah, I've had a chance to calm down.
The first thing I put in, in fact, now let's go through this chronologically, actually. I'll come to that afterwards. I want to start off with the midfield battle, because I said on previous shows of player ratings that I did, it feels like that's where battles are won and lost to Liverpool. It just kind of, the first 5-10 minutes, I thought, okay, Sam, we're on to these. Like, we were showing that press, you know, that aggressiveness that we kind of needed, that the crowd can get behind as well. And then after that, I don't know what happened, whether the intensity levels just kind of dropped, whether Man City got a bit of confidence, whether it was the quality and experience of Manchester City with, you know, I'm not saying Henderson, Fabinho don't have it, but I don't want to slight Curtis Jones at the same time. But it just felt like Bernardo Silva, as much as for no apparent reason I despise the man, obviously has a touch of class and composure. Kevin De Bruyne is obviously one of the best midfielders in world football. Rodri, I thought, had an excellent game as well. Manchester City seemed to just flip it on its edge, and they were the ones that were kind of harrying us, and we couldn't get hold of possession, we couldn't get hold of midfield. We didn't have an outlet up top because it felt rushed because of the pressure that we were under. Oh, Sadio's touch wasn't great. Jota wasn't...
bang average.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, let's go with that. But it was made to look bang average because Manchester City just took control of the game.
Yeah, completely. And for me, it was like first 10, 15 minutes, it was like a balloon that you just filled up and all the air was in it. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't like we had just popped the balloon with a pin or anything like that. It was just like you just let the air out and the ball just fizzes out, and all of a sudden it was just very flat, and I just felt like there was no rhythm. And I think that was probably credit to Man City, really. They didn't want us to have that. They probably identified that as, again, what you said, where the battles are won and lost, really, that midfield, and they probably identified that and not allowed us to kind of get into our stride. And it was just, there wasn't any rhythm, there was no tempo in the way that we was playing. It was very telling that, you know, they've got their Fabinho-like player in Rodri, does that job, so they've got the opportunity to screen their defence, and then De Bruyne and David Silva, they've just got more guile on the ball, and they've just got more technical ability than our players. They can play blind passes around the corner, they can, you know, bring the ball 10, 15, 20 yards further up the pitch. They just had that in them. And I think through spells there, you know, City's best chances came from opportunities that we give them. We kind of wasn't focused enough on the ball, whether it might have been Alisson or Jordan Henderson, kind of took a little bit too long on the ball. I think their qualities really shone through there, and that's what gave them their momentum. They thought, if Liverpool are going to make a mistake, we may as well try and capitalise on it and let's start making some of our own chances. And I think we were probably lucky at that point to get out of the half without conceding a goal.
100%. Shout out to Cameron, who's just joined as a wonder kid. Thank you very much, you absolute hero. We're going to get some of your comments as we go through this as well. And if you're in our Discord chat, I've seen Ryan Ceason, your 97's in there, as is Danny Hartree-Smith. You mentioned it there, Errol, was that Liverpool's right-hand side, Manchester City's left.
Yeah.
The James Milner, I know we debated it before, and practically all week, because I think we all knew he was going to start down there, and said to, I was doing the player ratings, I can't decide whether I should be slating him for giving Foden so much space, whether that was a tactic by Liverpool, whether Trent had played that position, it would have been the same, because he still needs to commit his body forward during those games to support Mohamed Salah. Okay, it never happened in the first half because we couldn't get hold of the ball. When the ball was played to Foden or Grealish down there or Cancelo, whenever he got forward, it felt like we were always 5 yards behind what was happening on the pitch. And that's not just a criticism of James Milner, whether it be tactical or a criticism of him, but also the likes of Fabinho, Henderson, who I think was supposed to be down that right-hand side in the first half. You picked up on it. Maybe they switched that within the second, and maybe that's where we got a bit of control. But it was just an outlet for Manchester City time and time again, wasn't it? And Man City were never going to go down the middle. Yeah. You know, playing Foden, was it Foden, Jesus and Grealish top, and you've got Matip and Van Dijk in the middle. Never going to get any change out of those two, particularly with the lack of pace that they've got. So it was always going to be that side,
and
he took advantage of it, and they got, you know, most of their chances and goals come from there.
Yeah, it really did, and you know, they even tried it a little bit with Jesus down their right hand side at times, and you know, he wasn't getting any change out of Robbo either. So I think they identified our right back as the weak link, and I think, to be completely honest with you, in terms of how this season's gone, doesn't really matter the game. I think a lot of teams still feel that Trent is probably the weak link in our defence in terms of a full-out defensive unit. And it's not because of his inability to be a good defender. I think it's just the way that we attack that. It's probably one of our strongest weapons that teams try to flip it on its head. I'm like, well, let's make him go backwards because he doesn't like doing that job. Yeah. So let's try and pin him back as far back as possible and get him in uncomfortable positions. So I think the same was to be said of James Milner today. And, you know, in terms of his overall performance, he didn't play too bad, really. I think, you know, man for man, I got a few good blocks in.
It feels like a scapegoat to me.
Yeah, it's an easy one to scapegoat him and say that we know the way he plays is not going to be the same as Trent, and the opportunities to go forward weren't as available for him today. But it was just, we just lack, and I think it was, I said this to you in the watch along, you couldn't really just put your finger on one player and say, it's their fault. The whole style of which we was playing, I think it was down to the fact that there was no rhythm for a large part. We weren't able to string passes together. We weren't getting combinations in. We weren't doing any sort of triangles. You know, we wasn't playing through City in any way that was going to build them.
That's a criticism of us as it is a compliment to Man City. Though,
yeah, 100%. And I think City, you know, you give City again the credit in saying that they identified it and they almost punished us for that. But I'm fairly adamant in the sense that their best chances in that first half came from lapses in our concentration. And I said that, you know, in the fan reaction, you know, our best patch of the game, we score two. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Their best patch of the game, they still can't score. It's just that, you know, in their not so good patch, they still managed to score two, which was probably the bigger disappointment for us.
Yeah, Klopp referenced it in his post-match interview. He said, you know, first half was exactly how we should have played against Manchester City.
Yes.
And the second half was. So whatever changed at our time was great. There was an interesting comment here from Torjo, single update. Sorry if I absolutely butchered that. Did what you guys talking about? Liverpool played a wonderful first half. Any other team would have crumbled. That team did what was needed to stay in the game. Now,
clutching its drawers.
Yeah, you didn't need to say any words after you just pulled that face. I think Liverpool were certainly lucky to kind of go in at half time being a little. In fact, half time, as we were doing comms, Errol, was a sigh of relief. Get in, change things. I didn't think that was the way the conversation was going to go leading into the game. But again, it's that midfield battle that I've put in there of going, you can't, if you don't get Liverpool don't get a grip of the midfield, we don't tend to do very well in games.
Yeah.
And all the other teams are having possession. I'm looking for Jordan Henderson to get his foot on the ball to calm things down. Curtis Jones, I think, was a different test for him, a much harder test. referencing the player ratings, great doing against Porto, great doing against Brentford, Norwich, all these like kind of second string teams that were playing in Carabao Cups. But I have to also remember that he's 20 years old. He's still learning. This today will be a massive lesson for him.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately he got better in the second half. I don't think it was the performance we all wanted, mm-hmm. but I think we should be crediting Liverpool at the same time, as much as the first half was terrible. We improved in the second half.
Yeah, and you know, in terms on Curtis Jones, you know, first and foremost, you know, one of the observations that we made was, you know, how does he hold a light to Phil Foden? And we know Phil Foden obviously scores that goal, and it was a great take by him. And you know, he scores from a really cute angle and does really well. But in that second half, Curtis Jones pulled up his socks and decided, you know what, I'm going to give this a go because I didn't get stuck in enough in that first half. And he helped. I don't know if he'll get gifted an assist for Salah's goal, because Salah's goal was just, you know, brilliant.
Salah assists himself,
mate. Yeah, you know, he really does. Yeah. But he's there, he's keeping hold of that ball. He doesn't drive with it, but he keeps hold of that ball and then he pops it off to Salah. But he was in a much more advanced position, where in the first half, he just wasn't getting that chance. He wasn't getting that high up the field with the ball. He might have been getting high up that field in the way the unit was pressing, but he wasn't getting nowhere near close enough to the ball for me. So, you know, obviously Phil Foden at this moment in times is probably heads and shoulders above Curtis Jones in terms of where they are as players, but he did a good representation for himself in that second half to say, you know what, I'm not too far behind, I've still got, you know, you're playing you can argue City are, you know, the current champions, you can't argue that, but they are arguably one of the best teams in the world, and you've got another young lad there, comes from Liverpool, playing in this Liverpool side, holding his own against them to a large degree.
Yeah, and the other one, someone's made a comment here saying if Fabinho doesn't get drilled past in both goals, we don't concede both goals. Like, I don't think it's necessarily just Fabinho's fault, but again, yeah, when we're talking about those games and dominating the
and how
field,
often does that happen to Fabinho?
I know, but and again, Fabinho, and this is again credit to Manchester City, because they overloaded with so many bodies. I don't think at times he was sure what to do,
yeah,
which is obviously a tactic from them, because again, when he gets hold of the ball, there's the bases, the platform for Liverpool to kind of kick on, and the likes of Jordan Henderson and Curtis Jones have got more license and more confidence to kind of go forward. Mm-hmm. Where it was like, oh my God, there's Foden, Grealish, Cancelo's coming forward, Kyle Walker's bombing forward. Like, what we should be doing,
yeah,
what we do to teams, and what probably we should have done to Manchester City for the, particularly the first half of that game. And then when Fabinho, going missing sounds dead harsh, but when Fabinho's not on it, I'll say, I think that's when we start to kind of lose control of the
game. Because he's that anchor, isn't he? Yeah. He is that linchpin for us in our midfield, and one we rely on because of his world-class qualities. You know, there's another comment here saying, you know, Chelsea would never concede against City if they took the lead. And I think that's just down to styles. Anyone can concede against anyone when you take the lead. You know, let's have it right. You know, Chelsea took the lead. I know they won the game yesterday, but they took the lead and then conceded to Southampton. I know it was a penalty, but they still conceded at the end of
Chelsea
the day.
Chelsea actually lost to Man City.
And they lost to Man City as well. So I think it's a style thing. You know, if Chelsea would have been in a position to have taken the lead and fortunate enough to, they would have been more conservative off the off and just try to hit them on the counter. That's never our game plan. You know, Klopp doesn't approach games like that. And I think the second half really shows, you know, his post-match reaction himself says, you know, that's how we play. The second half is how you should play City. The first half is definitely not how you should play City.
excuse me. One man who did step up in that second half when he eventually got the ball and was able to keep hold of it for a couple of minutes because he had support, and he's the best player in the world for me, is Mohamed Salah. First of all, that first goal, Cancelo gets booked, and as I said in the player ratings, I think something just triggers in his head, yeah, of going, you're toast. But also the fact of, we're looking at these big players in big moments, and I don't think it, sometimes this is never levelled at Mo Salah, but he took control of that game for me. He took the game by the scruff of his neck and went, we're gonna win this. He did everything in his powers to kind of do that. The first goal, thinks it past Cancelo, bombs past him, runs inside. He sees what's in front of him and all these things that are levelled at him in the sense of he's selfish, he wants to score the goals, he's just after the golden boot and all this stuff. There's something within that set inside that man this season that is either pissed off from what happened last season, or he's had a rest, he's had a physical and mental rest in that sense, but he just looks so psyched and pumped up for this season. And that first goal is everything that I love about him, with close control, going past someone and having the ability to pass to Mane, who makes a good run. But even it's the weight of the pass,
yeah, perfect,
to find him, it's just sensational.
Yeah, absolutely perfect. And big games call, scream out for your big game players, and 100%. Salah is that guy. He's our talisman for that exact reason. And for me, you know, the what changes that second half is that Cancelo getting that yellow card.
Yeah.
Gets that yellow card, and first thing in Mo Salah's mind is, I'm going to start running at you. let's see how you can handle me now. And you can see the hesitancy in Cancelo. He doesn't want to overcommit. He doesn't want to lunge in for a tackle or anything like that. And it was just unbelievable by him, really, just to have that all-round gameplay. Just the clutch moments. I think he realised, wait, we are playing a title contender. This game could decide a title. Yeah. That's how he's probably approached it at this point, and we need to do something.
But he wants to go into international break. Top of the table, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, that's his first thought in his mind. He's a bona fide winner. This is, and it's scary to see, because for me, we haven't had a guy like that since Suarez. Suarez is that was that kind of, you embodied that Suarez moment where it's just like, I will drag this team to play at my
in
level.
Fact, okay, his goal, and now you mentioned it, is very Suarez like, isn't it? Yeah, he's, you know, Curtis Jones played into him, back to goal, 2-3 men around him, uses his strength, determination, grit, pushes past, maybe gets a lucky bobble. Then he has so much work to do, but he's got Laporte, he's, you know.
His angle was even harder than Foden.
Yeah, exactly. He puts Laporte on his arse and then tries to get the angle again against one of the best goalkeepers
and
in the world.
I think there was comments there saying that was his right foot as well, and everyone said he hasn't got one. So
I've said that loads. I was like, if only could use his right foot, he'd have 60 goals a season.
Well, this might be the season, really. And, you know, as Liverpool fans, I think we just all want that little bit of comfort from knowing that we can tie this guy down for the long-term future. You know, for a couple of years, there was the debate about who's our most important out of that front three. And, you know, I think the other two have tailed off slightly. They've probably performed within themselves for a large part in the last 18 months. But one person that hasn't and has kept delivering, kept outperforming themselves, kept outdoing records, breaking records, setting new records. You know, there's only so many words in the English language, in the Scouse language, that we can... boss, you know what I mean? Like, that is the be all and end all. This guy, he's got to be the GOAT from Liverpool players in my lifetime, and I'll happily say that.
Is this one of those results where it hurts now, it's frustrating now, because A, that goal
should be winning you a game.
It's arguably goal, well, certainly goal of the month, goal of the season, should be winning games. We took the lead twice, we never kept hold of that lead.
Yeah.
Okay, it was against a great opposition, but it will be in, I don't know, a couple of days' time, once we've all settled down, we get our voices back and we calm down, go and watch it on reflection. A draw on the basis of the game was a good result.
At this particular moment where we're at, in terms of, you know, we've got a few injuries in what would be our, you know, our strongest 11. It's still early days into the season. You've obviously played a mixed bag in terms of the opposition that we've come up against. And, you know, we've taken quite a good point total return, all things considered. I think the only, you know, when you look back, maybe with hindsight, maybe January, February times, you might consider it good, because hopefully we've got a more full strength complemented squad, you know, more players are even up to speed in terms of the options that we can bring off the bench, but it does leave us with work to do. But I think it's a motivating factor to say, you know, we've laid gloves on Chelsea and City, but we've not been able to knock them out. Let's go and knock them out on their own home patch now. And I think that'll be a job for when the momentum's going and you're looking for a title running and you just want to just keep just knocking out wins every single week. So I think our time will come in that sense. But it's good and it bodes well that, you know, we're in a position now where we're going into another international break and we're the only unbeaten team about at the minute.
Took the words out, Ralph. I've got the Premier League table up here on my screen. Chelsea, obviously, first, 16 points. Liverpool, second on 50. Manchester City, third, 14. Tied third, with City, United, Everton and Brighton of all teams. Brentford there in seventh with Spurs as well. So, you know, I think you're right, you know. And those three draws have been Manchester City at home, and we probably should have won that game. Chelsea at home, but down to 10 men for a full half. Probably should have won that game as well. And Brentford 3-3.
We definitely should have won that one.
So there's a massive frustration here that Liverpool haven't won all seven games, which at the time of those games is really annoying. But I think if your biggest issue is you haven't won 7 out of 7 games and you're unbeaten in the Champions League as well, I think you're right. You know, I think we've done pretty sound so far.
Can we go again?
Yeah,
we absolutely will go again. And, you know, these lads, they'll probably kick themselves in the morning because they'll feel as though there was chances there. I'd say, I don't even think we had the chance to kill off the game. It was more the game management for me. Does Klopp tell them, now we've got the second, you know, do everything, just that shit hours a week, waste time, all those other things? Should those things have started to creep into our game a little bit more? Should we have gone under City's skin a little bit more? Probably, but they
don't think it was possible to get under Pep's
skin anymore than we did. I know we got a yellow, but They're probably things that they will definitely learn from as a squad, and as the season goes on, we'll get cuter at how we deal with those situations. I think.
Is it not easy to say that? Because if you go, that the shithousery,
yeah.
And dark arts, which we all hate, but like we hate it when Burnley do it, but maybe take a bit of that for our games, especially when we're taking leads in games. But it's also,
I said we was going to have to win ugly at one point. Yeah, it looked like we'd have to win
but
ugly.
That's equally as dangerous against Manchester City, because you can't sit back and go, all right, then come on.
Yeah exactly. And you're begging for the pressure to come on. You know, again, it's the balance, and it's probably a fine balance, and we just didn't get that balance right today, ultimately, because, and I don't even think there wasn't enough time, really, between the goals that we scored and then when they scored, you know what I mean? It wasn't like we went two up, and then they fought the way back, and then it was like, all right, now, you know, they've got the one, let's concentrate. It was, right, 1-0, all right, 1-1, there's still plenty of time to get something out of this game. Right now, we've got our tails up, it's 2-1, right, and then before you know it, they're back in, and the goals, you know, defensively were soft. I felt sorry for Matip, because I thought Matip was absolutely stellar today. He was brilliant, and I just felt gutted that. I think maybe Alisson probably saves that from De Bruyne. It looks like it was kind of middle of the goal, doesn't look like it's going top ins or nothing like that, so it's just a cruel deflection, ultimately. But I just think a little bit more game management, a little bit more tactical nous in those areas. We probably suffered from not having the likes of a Thiago in that midfield, really, to just kind of control the tempo with the game. I don't think anyone that he could have brought in off the bench, it's probably why the midfield didn't get changed for the 90 minutes, would have made
it. I was quite surprised
impact.
Jones played a full 90, to be fair.
I was surprised, but I don't think anyone would have made it in the way that we needed the midfielder to impact that game once we went 2-1.
It's too much of a gamble. You need someone to come into pace and get into speed with that game, and it's fucking impossible when exactly. It's so end to end. You asked me during the show and I never answered, so I'm just going to flip it on its head and ask you instead, because you asked me during the In fact, I'll give you my answer, but I'll ask you at the same time. If you asked me, the Liverpool need them, now he's going to win at Manchester City and Chelsea to be in contention with the title. I personally don't believe so, because I think it's so early in the season. We're only 7 games in, we're still unbeaten. It's to get, like the Brentford games that I think we need to go and win. I think if you go and get a draw at the Etihad, you're going to get a draw at Stamford Bridge. I think they're still good results. They still drop points
as well.
We're still in the conversation. I don't think it's as cut and dry of if we don't beat Man City, we don't beat Chelsea in their stadiums, we haven't won a league, because they'll continue to drop points. Yeah. Manchester City will continue to drop points.
I think if that scenario was to play out, though, we'd be relying on too many other results to go our way. No, on the flip side, by the time we go back and play City and by the time we play Chelsea again at their ground, we might be relying on other results to start going our way for us to be boosted up or cement our place at the top of the tree, so to speak. So for me, 4 points, we want to win at the Etihad. We just want to. Do you know what I mean? I think.
Couldn't you say Etihad, could you?
No. We want to win there. It has to be done. And I'd take the point at Stamford Bridge at this point, if you was asking me right now. Maybe in, you know, 4 or 5 months' time, forms might have changed completely and Chelsea might have fell off the edge of a cliff. City might have run out of steam. And you think, yeah, we just want to go for the jugular and beat them both. Likewise, they might not have been beat in a ridiculous run of games as well. So you just have to play the team that turns up on the day, really. But for me, at this moment in time, I still think there is work to do, because the performances that we've done, they haven't been complete 90-minute performances against either of those teams. Mm-hmm. And I think against your rivals at some point in the season, you've got to put in a full 90-minute performance to show your dominance. If you want to win it, we're not just trying to compete for top 40 at the end of the day. The expectation this season for us is to go back and get our title back, you know, and at least give a damn good challenge as to why, you know, the best team has to better us if we're not going to be top of the league. So for me, yeah, we do have to put in a good 90 minutes of dominance against one, if not both of those sides, really, to kind of make up from some of the lost ground.
Okay, just one more point before we kind of get away. Professor Bjorn says 2-2 is fine. Last season we lost 4-1. But there's a massive chat in the YouTube comments going on about Curtis Jones. He's getting a bit slighted, or Sabin says Jones is average at best. I think people need to remember he's 20 years old.
Yeah, he's a kid.
He's a kid, and he's played against one of the best sides
in the world. They're the league champions. Like, let's not. They walked the league as well last season themselves. This team have been quality for 4 or 5 years. This isn't an overnight thing for City or flash in the pan. Like, this lad's come in and held his own. Yeah, he didn't have a great first half, but why would you get on the kid's back? He rolled up his socks that second half, and he could have literally went and been a shrinking violet himself, but decided, no, do you know what? I'm going to stand up and be counted, because he understands how much it means. That to me goes a long way, really, as far as
I'm. If you're 20 years old and you're playing within this Liverpool side right now, which is with the best Liverpool side in my lifetime,
you've got to be good. Yeah. You've got to be good, man. Come on.
Yeah. And these teams, these players as it is, are allowed dips in form. He's played a hell of a lot of football in the past few weeks. We've been reliant on him again, as we were last season. I think he deserves a bit of credit, to be fair.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We've got a lot of time for the man like Curtis Jones. He's come in when we've needed him.
Should we finish it there?
I think we should.
Okay, Liverpool 2, Manchester City 2. Keep your thoughts and comments coming. Oh, you're having a dual roast.
Oh, no, it's sick. It is.
Talk us to the dual roast.
Oh, okay, so my nan's made us a Jamaican there, and I've got a roast to go home to as well. So I've got the Jamaican roast and I've got the traditional English roast, the best of both worlds. And then I'm going to sit down and watch some Fresh Out the Box. Yes, I said that again, because it is live on YouTube now. So head over now. You've got all your football content, Fresh Out the Box UK. It's there on the GoPlay channel, and you'll catch your boy doing a little bit more scouse things.
I have no idea how you've made a dual roast turn into a promo for your YouTube channel, but you absolutely nailed the plot on the road. And join us tomorrow. We'll be live at 10:30 on RedmanTV.com. It'll be me, Steve, and Paul talking an hour through this game.
Steve
here.
Back as well. Steve. Is the rumours true? The rumour mill?
Steve Orr started at Redman TV. It's his first day today, so he was down at Hotel Anfield doing all the socials and stuff like that, and doing my job while I was doing this one. So yeah, Steve's joined us full time, so you see a lot more of Steve on the shows and stuff like that. So thank you very much for your support, everyone who joined in, liked the stream and has commented. We'll be back soon as international break, but we've got loads coming up on the Redman TV. I've already mentioned it a few times, but there's an interview with John Atterberg which should be out next week. So that's Liverpool's goalkeeping coach. He was here for he was here for 2 hours, but I think the interview's about an hour. Okay, I don't think at a time. It's on RedmanTV.com. Honestly, it's like nothing we can't have done before. Proper insight into recruitment, what it's like to be a goalkeeping coach. I love the fact that he references like his team within the goalkeepers. I think he's really interesting, and some proper insight from him as well. And as Errol has kindly modelled for us, these are back in stock as well. The Brushstroke Accrue t-shirts as well. It's a little tribute to the away kit this year. So if you want one of those, treat yourself. As much before, there's limited copies of the author signed Hendo book as well, so you want one of them for Christmas, or you want to buy one for someone, get your orders in as soon as possible, and we'll be back soon. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.